Okay, we're rolling. Who are you?
My name is May Meenakshi Sundaram. I'm a program manager in Dynamics AHT.
Okay, and you're here with your team, right?
Yep, and my development team.
My name is Dima Jayana. I'm a developer on the portal team.
Okay.
My name is Arif Qureshi. I'm also on the development team for the AX Enterprise portal.
Okay.
And I'm also on the development team. My name is Chad Waldman. And that's us.
Okay. So what are we showing today?
Basically, we want to give a quick glimpse of what Dynamics AX 2009 is, and specifically focus on two areas, the Enterprise Portal, which is a web platform and a portal solution for the business application. And we also want to show how you can develop a new page in Enterprise Portal and use that component in a role center. So those are the two aspects that we want to focus.
Okay, so assume I'm an idiot, which isn't a stretch. I have no idea what Dynamics is. How would you explain Dynamics to, say, your mom?
Yeah, so there's a common question that I get from people. Whenever I say I work for Microsoft, people expect the answer whether I work for Windows or Office or Xbox.
Of course.
When I say Dynamics, what is Dynamics? So Dynamics is an ERP, Enterprise Resource Planning product, and people call it as a business application as well. We are going to ship AX 2009 in a couple of more months.
Okay.
Basically, like this is the backbone of any business. Like, how do you do your inventory management? How do you track your financials? How do you do your supply chain? So those kind of business aspect of the things.
Okay. Okay. Right. And people are familiar with things like maybe SAP. This is the equivalent. But what it like before, in terms of company size, is there a magic number? Or
yeah, we basically focus on mid-market, upper mid-market, and kind of bigger organizations.
Okay.
We don't yet compete at the global enterprise level, but we do compete at very upper mid-market.
And the Salesforce folks, there isn't like a, you know, an online service, if you will.
Yeah, so this is mainly on-premise. This is a product that you would install.
Okay.
There are partners who do some hosting as well, but it is mainly on-premise product. This is more of an ERP.
Okay. And so 2009 hasn't launched yet, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
And obviously. But so what are the key features? Like, what are the areas that you're seeing Dynamics in the future?
Yeah, so there are, like, again, a lot of features that we have been working on in the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
From a platform perspective, like, we are doing, like, many platform-level supports, SQL 2008, 64-bit, kind of server-level support.
Sure.
And on the portal, mainly, that we are going to focus today is how we use ASP.NET, AJAX, and all the modern web experience, how you bring a consumer web type of a user interface into the business app. Is the main focus on the enterprise portal platform-wise. And another key theme is how do we provide a role-tailored user experience. The type of users that they use the business systems vary very differently.
Mm-hmm.
A CEO of a system wants to know how my business works, whereas an order processor is heads down doing some transaction. So one product has to meet the need of many different users. So we are coming out with a role-tailored user experience, so that the same product, how it provide different information to different people. That is also we are going to look at it. And other
so
things
it's like a personalized portal, if you will?
Yeah. So when I start my application, whether it is a rich client application or a web experience, how it marks and provides a user-tailored information. And we have other things like workflow, BI, and a lot of and application-level functionalities like finance, human resource, supply chain. It's a mix of all.
Okay.
So I think one of the things that kind of differentiates Dynamics from other products is that we're not a shrink wrap app. So we expect every company that installs us goes through an installation phase where they customize Dynamics for their company. So not only is our app an end user app where we do financials and, you know, shop floor control, but we also have an embedded development environment, and we have our own programming language. So what we've been doing in the past couple of releases is trying to move away from our proprietary platforms and programming environments into Visual Studio and the standard Microsoft. So that's what you're going to see today with the work we've done.
Awesome. Cool.
The main challenge was probably, one of the main challenges was to combine the new Microsoft stack with, you know, existing code and, you know, metadata and business logic, which is written, you know, which kind of goes through releases, and, you know, and it's important that the new portal framework and other frameworks that we're providing works well with the business logic that's there.
And what framework are you guys targeting, .NET Framework 3.5 or 3.0? Or?
Yeah, so 3.5 is what we have.
Okay, so you guys have Link and all those wonderful things?
Yeah, we haven't leveraged all the new functionality that comes with 3.5 yet.
Okay.
But it is running on 3.5.
Okay. And you guys said workflow earlier, so I'm assuming Windows Workflow
Windows
is part
Workflow
of that.
Foundation, yeah.
Okay, great.
Web extensions for Ajax and stuff like that. And, you know, nice new things from ASP.NET.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. So you got demos for us? You want us
to jump into? Going to demonstrate how easy to use the Microsoft tools and build an enterprise portal web application page, as well as use that component in a role-tailored experience in a client application. So those are the two demos. So the first thing is, like, this is our client experience. Like, as you can see, when I start my application, I get all my role-tailored information, like the information that are relevant to me in my page.
And there you're talking about the role center here, right?
Yeah. Okay. So first I'm going to demo how we can build a new enterprise portal page. So the scenario here is a sales rep wants to access critical customer information on the web, assuming that it is not available out of the box. How would a developer go and easily build? So first I bring up AOT, which is the application object tree, the metadata store for this business application.
So a couple questions here. Is this using SharePoint?
Yeah. So this is using SharePoint and ASP.NET. The portal is using SharePoint.
Yeah, we can draw on the board like what our architecture is.
Okay, yeah, that might maybe before I start asking all the stupid questions.
I think what we wanted to do is kind of contrast what we have to standard ASP.NET development. So in very like high terms, in a normal ASP.NET app, you have your database, and then you have your ASP.NET runtime with your pages and your controls. And, you know, from that, you generate your HTML. So in our stack, we actually have our we have the AX database, and in addition, we have this AX metadata and code repository. So this is what is being shown here, and called the AOT, right? So one thing we have in our metadata is we fully abstract away the database so that we can run on Oracle or SQL. And we maintain all the associations between tables and foreign keys and all that in our layer. We also have a code repository that anything you build, we store in our code repository so that when you get to the customer site, you just deploy and it just naturally will deploy.
And that includes pages and controls and everything.
So I'm gonna that code repository, that is a database itself?
Yes, it is a database.
Okay, so and when you say that things are stored in there, like you're serializing objects, you're serializing the description of objects, or are you serializing like
we're serializing the objects, instances of objects. So for example, you build a user control in Visual Studio. Then what you want to do is you want to ship the user control to a customer. So what you do in our system is that you our add-in will actually store the user control in this metadata store here. And we ship this guy to the customer then. So when you get to the customer, you get to your user control, you get all the other artifacts that you connect to it, like your data sources, tables. You can construct tables on the fly as well here in the AOT.
Okay. So our goal is to have one self-contained code repository and associated metadata that you ship in one shot to the customer.
And I'm probably going to ask, like, stupid obvious questions, but references to other DLLs. So, like, I have a class that's serialized that has a dependency on three other DLLs. How do those DLLs, like, do you literally suck them in from a Visual Studio project so you have all the dependencies if, say, there's custom DLLs that you're using or reusing?
We allow you to ship cab files. So what you need to do is build cab files from your dependent DLLs. And then we suck in your cab file. And at deployment time, we'll GAC your cab file. And
so the main reason here is that partners can customize. It is not just out of the box. So
sure.
We provide, and many different partners will build different modules. A customer may buy modules from different vendors. So how easily they can customize. So that is the purpose of this metadata-driven repository.
It's not, you know, maybe in a future talk we can go into the metadata, but it's not just a simple store. It's a layered store. So we have 16 layers of storage where you can override. For example, you upload a web control that a partner downstream wants to customize. They can do that without losing your original one. So it is a sophisticated metadata store here. We are working with the other Microsoft groups in order to, you know, give some more metadata requirements to them. But right now, I think ours is a more sophisticated metadata store than what exists in other places in Microsoft.
Okay, so sorry, I'll let you finish. What happens when, I guess, somebody calls a Dynamics page, if you will?
Right, so I guess I was trying to compare to ASP.NET. So you have a database, you may have a middle tier, which I'm ignoring, and you have some web pages that kind of render that data and produce HTML. In our case, we also support ASP.NET controls. And, you know, we have our integration layer here that allows you to, you know, read the stuff and generate HTML. But the difference is that we are a portal framework, so we also incorporate SharePoint metadata. So here on top of the ASP.NET control that you author is SharePoint. So this kind of gives you the page definition. The dynamic. So what you have in your ASP.NET site is you have a fixed page definition in markup, and we want to keep the benefits of you know, developing in ASP.NET, but we want to let SharePoint do the page definition. So we kind of merged the two. So what happens when you, and then HTML out of the top here. So what May is going to show is that you can author a control, you can put it in our store, and then you can use SharePoint to kind of construct a page out of the controls you created.
And do you guys ship with your own set of, say, SharePoint controls or what are they called? The portal widgets?
Web parts.
Thank you.
Yeah, we have a web part that can load user controls. So you'll see that.
Yeah,
okay.
See that.
Okay. Cool.
Okay. So what I'm going to do first is create a new data set, assuming that I have the table already.
And what are we creating a data set of?
From you can also draw a little diagram on, you know, the data set, right?
Yeah.
Now, is this a type data set, or?
No, this is our own construct.
Well,
it's not true.
You guys just happen to choose the same name.
Good. Okay. So I'm going to name this as demo data set, and then I'm going to add a table to this data set, and we have customer table already in the system, so I'm going to reference the customer table here, and we can expand and then see the all the fields that are already defined in the system.
Okay.
And then I am also going to define some of the calculated fields. I don't have the fields directly stored in the table. For example, I want to look at how many open orders are there from this customer. So I'm going to use the business language and then create new methods. I have the code here. So I have a new method called backorders, which calculates from the sales orders table how many orders are there.
So what language is this?
So this is X++, which is a business language used by AX. So this is what is used to define all the business logic.
Okay. Now, that business logic could be defined in VBC Sharp or no?
It could be defined.
It could be, yeah.
So, okay.
So you'll see that when he moves to the Visual Studio, you'll have access to whatever he does here.
Okay.
So I'm going to create one more method, just for the demo purpose, to calculate how many open orders we have.
Yeah. So one reason that May is using X++ here is for some things it is more efficient. So currently we don't have full link support, as you mentioned. But if you look at the syntax of X++, it's very similar.
Yeah, it looks very SQL meets C Sharp.
Okay. So as a business application developer, I have defined my metadata about the data set. Now I'm going to create a new user control to read this data and display it in a grid. So I'm going to use Visual Studio 2008, and I'm going to create a new website project. And then notice we have this our add in here. So I'm going
to. So you have your own custom template, I see.
Yeah. Okay. We have a project template and item template. And so this is going to connect back to our application server and return all the metadata that is stored in the system. And then, so for example, it created a control. So I'm going to add a new control here, add a new item. And then again, I'm going to use our template, user control, and then name this as AX demo customer. So this will add the control. And I'm going to the designer mode of this control. And then on the left side, you can see we have created a number of ASP.NET controls. For example, similar to SQL data source or object data source, we have an AX data source, which connects back to our application object server, pulls the metadata. So here, I should be able to point back to the data set that I created in the system. So it would list all the data sets that we created here. So I'm going to pick the demo data set that we created.
Okay.
So then I'm going to add a grid view control here. And then this is like similar.
This one is our grid view, but you could use any ASP.NET bindable control.
Okay. And I'm assuming you're just using that data source and then binding it to any bindable control.
Right. Yeah. The reason that we're using our grid view is because our grid view understands our metadata and will automatically format the columns.
Okay. So it does like smart.
Yeah, it's smarter than that.
Yeah. So okay. I'm going to the bind control designer, and similar to any ASP.NET control, I'm going to pick a couple of fields from the table. And also, we have this concept of field groups, since it is metadata-driven and partners customize a lot. So we want to provide a way by which you can add fields in the table and without the need to go and change every page, how this field can be automatically added. So I'm going to add a field group called credit limit. Credit field group, in fact, contains multiple fields in it. So I can later go and then add a new field to that group. So with this simple changes. Now I have a user control which is ready. And then now I will right-click here and using our add-in, I'm going to add it to the AOT. So the user control will be added to our metadata store.
And at that point, it's reusable everywhere else.
Everywhere, yeah.
And you guys do the auto-deployment and everything else.
Yeah. Okay. So now
from that point on, you know, any change you make to the control in the Visual Studio project will be automatically reflected in AOT, since AOT is the metadata master.
Okay. And things like the connection string to that data source.
Yeah.
So that will. Taken care of.
It's a property of a data source control.
Okay. So how would it say update? Say like we push it to AOT and it was working in our development, and then we're pushing it to production. Like, does you guys do some smart sniffing in AOT to update all?
Our data binding is not, you know, we don't have a data source of our server embedded in that page. So the binding to the correct AX server is through other configuration.
So you connect separate through our application server, which internally connects to either SQL data source or Oracle data source. And then returns the data.
Yeah, we have another configuration manager separate from this environment.
Okay.
So I'll create the page, then we can talk about the data binding. So now I'm in my enterprise portal site, and then I'm going to you can see out of the box we have a number of modules like expense management, sales order management, human resources, project management.
Right, and this is for the developer that wants to build their own.
So I'm going to create a new web part page. Call this as demo page and then pick a template. So and then I'm going to add a SharePoint web part that we built a number of web parts. And since we built a user control, I'm going to use the user control hosting web part.
Okay.
Again, this user control web part connects back to our application's object server and then pulls all the controls that are already added here. So we should see.
So at this point, we have a filtered list of all the user controls.
Yeah.
Right. Because he added to the AOT. SharePoint is not the same environment as Visual Studio. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's able to pick it up is because we handle the deployment to the various places.
Yeah, I think I have to deploy. Let's save this. We can also debug here. And then drag and drop the user control.
Basically, for quick debugging of user controls that you write, we provide a kind of a testing page, which would exercise most of the functionality provided.
And that's the AX web part page that comes with the project template?
Yes.
Yeah. And we can also see the control is actually deployed to the SharePoint.
Because for SharePoint,
the demo customer control that we created is pulled into AOT and it is also deployed to SharePoint.
Okay.
And that's how we are able to add this. So now let me go and then refresh this page. And then we get the customer grid.
Okay, and so this is the effectively pulling in the style stuff from the customized grids that you guys did.
Yeah.
Using the Dynamics user control.
Yeah.
In SharePoint.
Yeah. And you can see the The credit field group is actually expanded into three fields here. So again, we can set security in the metadata about user A has access to only two columns here, user B has access to the other three columns. So based on the metadata setting, without the need to write any code, the same page will render different columns.
Mm. Okay.
And then, Dima, do you want to explain the whole thing?
Yeah, I think the demo was pretty self-explanatory, but basically just to recap what we did, right, you know, and go through the process through which, you know, one would design like a complete new module from scratch, right? So basically you start with defining your table in the AOT, in the application object tree, and then you would add fields. Then as May described, you would go and create a data set which would contain one or more tables probably joined together. Then you would also probably add some calculated fields which you want to see on the grid, which don't come physically from the table, but can be calculated on the fly, like various totals and stuff like that. Then, stuff that we didn't show, you would probably add classes, right?
And if you have some business logic.
If you have some business logic for, say, you know, updating a customer or a sales or whatnot, which would work in conjunction with a data set, you know. Then you would proceed to developing user control in ASP.NET using our project. And in that user control, you would put a data source control which is follows the, you know, standard ASP.NET model, which provides, like, you know, SQL data source control and, you know, various other data source control. Well, this is data source control that we develop and it works with, you know, points to a data set and works with it. Then you would put data bound controls. Such as grids or forms and whatnot. And you would probably, in our case, you would probably use the controls that we developed, but you're welcome to use any third-party or out-of-the-box data-bound controls. And they work with data source control through data binding, standard ASP.NET. And then you would probably have code behind which would handle your, like, for example, an update button. Mm-hmm. And we have a mechanism through which the code behind can access business logic that you wrote in X++ and, you know, in AOT. And then, after you're done with your user control, you proceed with the page. And on the page, you would put a web part, which would link to the ASP.NET user controls that you created, and provide, you know, our Dynamics user control web part. In addition to hosting user control, provides other functionality like handling connections between various web parts, for example, in the scenario where you put like a list and the form together on the same
master
page.
Details, sure.
Yeah, stuff like that, right. You're all set. And then all that metadata, right, is going to the metadata repository. So,
including the SharePoint page.
Including the SharePoint page. Everything is OT. So, when you go to a customer box, you know, and you want to set up everything by the, you know, during the setup or update button, everything will come to the target computer.
Okay.
And be deployed accordingly.
Cool.
Yeah, so we bring many systems together, but for you as the the developer on the system, you don't see it as many different disparate systems. We pull it all together and we deploy it all for you.
Right.
So I think that's one of the... We're trying to build a system of, you know, many Microsoft stacks, but we're trying to give a uniform deployment story.
Uniform deployment. With, however, as you've seen, we used a lot of different design tools, right? So we used the AX design tool to design, you know, tables and data sets, right? Because that's, you know, that's the best tool. Then for user control, we used Visual Studio, because this is the, you know, the best tool to work with user controls. And then to define pages, well, of course, we use the SharePoint. However, even with different designers, again, it's the same metadata story.
Yeah. So what I want to show next is like how we can use any third-party control and then use our AJAX framework to communicate.
Okay.
So I'm going to build on top of this page. I'm going to edit this page. And I already have another control, a chart control, which uses the display method. So I'm going to use, again, this user control. And then point this to the AX chart control, which I previously built. And then make the role of this control as a consumer, because it is going to consume the context from the list control. So as I navigate back the records, it should pass the context. So I'm going to make this control the customer grid as the provider of the context. And then going to connect these two web parts. So this grid is going to provide, set the context to the user control, the second user control. So the chart control is a third-party control which does not know anything about AX. The key theme is like how you can use the thousands of controls built by ISVs into the business application.
Sure.
So as I navigate, select different records, you can see using AJAX without the entire page being refreshed.
So what it's doing is passing in what field? I guess it's the credit limit values there?
It is passing the customer account ID.
Okay.
And then the other control also binds to the same table, so it can use the customer ID to find out.
So it's actually, okay, so the chart is actually doing a data call based on the selected customer ID.
Using the chart AJAX. Won't do it directly, but to the data source control, because it's bound to the data source control.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So the key theme here is, again, you can use the native tools, the powerful Visual Studio, all the coolness of ASP.NET, AJAX, the rich personalization aspect of SharePoint as well as document library, collaboration, everything together. And then build a really, really rich user experience in business web applications. Awesome. Traditionally, business web is like low fidelity user interfaces, and we see the consumer web application is thriving with innovation, so we want to provide the same tools so that you can build such rich experience.
And it's not recreating the wheel because you're using all these already built controls, so if there's a Silverlight version, you guys can just pick it up and send data to it.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
And the next part of the demo, I want Chad is going to demo how we can use the control that we built in the client experience itself. So far we focused on the portal experience. So how this control could be used on the rich client role center experience. You
want to come? So I think the key theme for us here was that what the Office team offers with Moss and SharePoint. With their BI, you know, the SSRS reporting from SQL Server, those are exactly the things we need in our rich app. And rather than rebuilding our own BI tools and our own BI framework, we felt it best just to integrate our portal directly into the rich client. And Chad will kind of show how he's done that and how the look and feel is much different also, but it's still the same.
Mr. Chad.
Yes.
King Chad.
Thank you. So as everybody already said, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the role tailored experience and how EP plays an important role, especially in this next release, 2009. So a typical concept of the web is really to have a home page, right? people open up their web browsers today, they log into something like live.com, MSN, Yahoo, whatever it might be, and they really gain an overview of what they need, information they need for that day. So, you know, it might have your weather report, it might have some news, sports, whatever it might be. It's information that I'm going to use that day to help me out. So Enterprise Portal really has a similar concept in that when you log on to our Enterprise Portal website, the very first page you're going to see is going to be a home page. It's going to be actually a role page because it's tailored directly to your role. You know, it can be a salesperson, a CEO, whatever it might be.
Sure.
And it's going to contain things like reports, you know, what incoming sales rates. It may contain a to-do list, work list, maybe even some internal news for the company. So it's quite similar to your home page you have at home. So this is something that, actually I'm going to switch back to the home page. This is something that our Enterprise Portal users have been able to, you know, flex for the past few versions. However, a lot of our users are using the thick client, and or, you know, that's our Windows client, and they really have not been able to benefit from those exact same, you know, features, having a broad overview of their details. So what we did is we listened and we delivered. So what we have here is our homepage. We actually call it our role center. For Enterprise Portal. So we're logged into our web browser. And you see here, like I mentioned, we have, you know, some reports. You know, down here is actually a work list, which is our basically our to-do list, what to do today. And here are some, it's another report-like view called queues, which are essentially a representation of data that, you know, basically showing you what is going on in the system? How many sales, you know, orders I have, or, you know, what kind of, you know, what's my backwater?
Sort of custom reports for that individual.
Exactly. Yeah. So
sort of giving you a stack of papers. Like, the bigger your stack, the more you have to do.
Exactly. It's your to-do list. So yeah, you want this kind of to be low. Zeros are good.
And the work list is conveniently falls out of the visible page, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Nice not to see any of that. So what we did is, you know, we took this experience that our Enterprise Portal users have been able to gain, and we brought it into the client. So what you saw here is I open up my thick client, this is our Windows client, and my very first page I see right here in the background is actually the exact same role center I saw with NEP. Right.
Okay.
So if we, you know, we switch back and forth, you see I have my queues here, I have my report, I have my work list. If I, you know, switch back to EP, again, same queues, same report, work list down here. The main difference, however, is that it, you know, first thing off the bat you notice is it kind of has the same content but different graphical interface. You know, it kind of has a different usability to it. And being that on the web version, you have over here on the left a whole bunch of menu items that let me navigate to my Enterprise Portal pages up here. We have, again, more menu items. So it's all a navigation base for the web. However, when we're in the client, our navigation is really going to come, you know, either from, well, it's really going to come from here. So let's say I want to open up a customer list. I might go into here and go to accounts receivable. And then from here, this is my list of menu items. This is my forms I have available to me in the client. I can click on customers and gain access to our customer list from the client. So what we want to do is, we kind of want to bring together the look and feel of the client, but still bring the content from your role page out of EP. So we actually modify on the fly using dynamic style sheets and JavaScript. We modify the exact same role page. So this, what you're seeing here, is actually pointing to the exact same URL that the EP site is pointing to. And we dynamically modify it before we display it.
So how are you guys doing that? Are you just doing like a XML HTTP call and then displaying the results? Or
so you're
web
actually
browser control?
Right, you're actually looking at a web browser control. Right. Okay. Here. So we are hosting the web browser control, and it is point into URL, and based on context, we pass into that URL. We, you know, using ASP, JavaScript, and dynamic style sheets, modify the look of the page.
Okay. So does so one of the reasons folks like you know, a Salesforce or like a thick client, if you will, is because it's available offline.
Sure. Yep.
You know, I'm in the laptop, in the car, don't have connectivity, I can look up my sales customers. I'm assuming that stuff is still there, and you guys do, I guess, caching of the data.
Yeah, we don't have offline support in the AX client.
Oh, you don't?
So
okay.
One clarification. What we are talking about is only the starting page, so only the role center page is a SharePoint page rendered in the web browser control.
Everything
the rest
else?
Of the thing is like a Windows application.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. The whole thing needs connectivity. Today, right? There is no Dynamics doesn't have the offline storage yet.
Okay. It's a client server. Yes. Client server three-tier method.
I'm just adding features to you guys.
Yeah. It's been requested many times. All the data is being pulled from the server. We don't do any client caching currently.
So why would a customer want the client version instead of the enterprise portal? Like if it's not for, say, offline or data processing, or if you have the rich controls anyways, and this is sort of like a Windows app that's doing web requests anyways.
Yeah, so there are two things. One is like the power users, today they use the Windows application very much because they want to create large number of transactions, and the user interface is rich in the Windows application. So people use it a lot. So what we are adding to it, how we can bring the BI aspect of the things into the client without redeveloping our own set of Windows controls.
Okay.
So only providing the overview aspect of the things to start their day, and then since it is available right inside the client, they can drill down. For example, I'm seeing something wrong, so I want to drill down to find out the details in the transactional system.
Right.
If you look at other applications, analytics is a separate application,
mm-hmm.
and the transactional system is a separate one, and it is very difficult to navigate back and forth. Whereas by providing this experience and also providing the drill down capabilities, people can start their day knowing what they have to do, their high priority items, what they need to do, and they can drill down and then go to the transactional system.
But is that drill down available on the web, or is it only in the client?
It is available on both.
I think
that's
what
Chad is
actually going to show you that right now. And again, yeah, so if I am a client user, pretty much majority of our client users are all going to be client users. So they're going to want to stick within the client, do their work within the client. And it's also good to note that the Dynamics AX client has been around much longer than our enterprise portal. So it still has quite a number of abilities and forms that the enterprise portal does not have yet.
So it's not feature parity.
Yeah. It's not, you know, probably it's not exactly right to see an enterprise portal as a subset. Because, one thing which is common, of course, is the role page. But then if we talk about, like, you know, you ask the question, who would use the client, who would use the portal, right? And probably the personas are a little bit different, right? Because one of the actively developed modules for this version, right, is, for example, expense management, right? You know, when we fill out our expense reports, we're not AX users, right? We wouldn't open the ERP application to fill out expense reports. So that's mm-hmm. one scenario where you would use a portal, right? Same goes for CRM. A lot of CRM users, you know, salespeople, right? They're not AX users. So they would do whatever they need, work with opportunities, leads, and, you know, stuff like that using ET, right? Another set is probably your customers and vendors, right? You know, if... You know, there's customer self-service access, right, where customer wants to log in and see, you know, their, the sales order and stuff like that, or a vendor wants to post invoices and stuff like that, right? That's a game, right? So those are modules where you actually can see more functionality, you know, in the portal than the client.
And okay, so what are the scenarios for the, like certainly lots of data entry makes sense to me.
Yeah. Yep.
And existing users, is there like another sort of like key scenario you guys see for the thick client, rich client?
Oh, rich client.
So, yeah, it's mostly the back office users like who live day in and day out in the ERP system.
Okay.
So let's go.
Right. So I was going to give you an example of, so May touched upon how really there's a context of that we're running within the client versus in the web. And we utilize that context to kind of keep you in the same environment. So right here in my role page, and we are looking at a web page. Again, it's running in the web browser. But if I go ahead and I click on this queue, you're going to see it actually opens up within the client, the client's version of that list. However, if I was to switch back to our enterprise portal, running in our browser, and I click on it, it's going to actually open up the enterprise portal, the web version of that, exact same page. So there we're actually flexing the context-based and keeping you within your environment. So that is being done and handled by dynamic URLs. So in our metadata, we have the concept of menu items. And these menu items point to both a web URL, it's relative, so it's independent of what website you're on, it's going to take you to that page, as well as the client version of that form. So those links are all, pretty much everything you see on the Role Center is dynamic URLs based on context.
Okay, so you effectively intercept the navigate in the web browser control and say, hey, this is coming from the web, so let's now point to, I guess, what would be considered a local URI for, like, on the hard disk for...
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So the URIs that are generated are different between
the... You pay more than us in this.
Yeah.
How did you know this?
You're stealing our ideas.
Sorry, I've been hacking URIs. Well, this is actually so I don't know if you guys want to cover this random point, but the system.net web URI class isn't serializable. So how do you guys handle that, or do you serialize as a string and then do like a helper to build it, or?
Don't use it.
So again,
we don't. We actually just build our own version of the URI, right? That points to that menu item when we are running within our rich client.
Okay.
Right? So when running in the browser, they're pointing to a relative URL. When they're running in the rich client, it's our own version, which we intercept in the web browser control, and we actually launch the relative.
So again, that is the goodness of the metadata driven. We have all the menu items.
Yeah.
Where
exactly.
It's pointing to, everything is stored in the metadata store, so you can read and interpret wherever you want.
Okay.
And then, of course, since we have the menu items at that point where we render the links, we can security trim everything out, right? So you don't have certain security, we know the menu item, and then that's all in the metadata that points directly to your security access from your role, and then we can trim out those links.
Okay. One random question, like the client app itself was written in, is it Windows Forms, is it WPF, or are you guys using sort of a mix of both, is it C++?
It is C++ using ATL.
Okay.
We do have some forms which uses WPF.
Okay.
Like the organization directory.
Right, there is some newer stuff using WPF,
but
primarily the majority of the client, since it is actually over a decade old, I guess now. Maybe it's pretty old. You know, is running, you know, C++.
Okay. And you guys, for 2009, I see some of this stuff, like the menu item support for navigation, like you're taking support of the new Vista things. Like, say, for file open, you know, their new dialogues or Glass or those sort of things. Did you guys sort of add those features?
Yeah, the user experience we want to align more with Vista and Office 2007, like you may have seen the action pane whenever you go to any list. Mm-hmm. So those are the new controls.
And it's sort of like a ribbon.
You can see here, right, our WISP page is running with a ribbon, so it has that Office.
So those are managed controls, so it has all the goodness in the client as well.
And then... this role page is completely using AJAX. It is pointing to our SharePoint site. So you can see here, if I'm running in the rich client, mm-hmm. I'm a user, I can even go ahead and
personalize
my SharePoint page once it opens. There it is. And then I can go ahead and add parts. So what's cool about SharePoint is I started off talking
about... We're in the client and we're personalizing the SharePoint page?
Exactly.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah. As a user that runs solely within the rich client, we don't want them we don't want to bring them into the web.
Yeah, tell them you have to relearn everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's no need for them to learn two client views of their, you know, of working in there every day. So we give them that full SharePoint rich customization within the client itself.
Well, the other interesting aspect to me, at least, like you mentioned the third-party extensibility or somebody building their own custom user control, then that's the way you can actually customize the client as well. That's the extensibility angle for the client.
So there is one key strength of AX. Like, people love AX because it is very easy to customize. If you look at any other ERP vendor, you have to spend a lot of money consulting dollars to customize anything. Whereas here, like, we want to leverage all the ASP.NET developers, people who are familiar with Visual Studio and SharePoint, and use all the controls that are already built, and then use it in the business app.
And it's important to point out, what's great about SharePoint is it lets users customize. It's not just limited to the administrators or limited to the our ISVs, you know, so our partners. You know, it's what you see is you know, I can go ahead and I can say, well, this report is more useful for me if I modify, if I tweak these settings, and they can go ahead and do that.
Mm-hmm.
So. I guess one other...
Yeah, one other thing that SharePoint doesn't have, we have, is the role-based homepage.
Right, so that was one other thing I wanted to finalize with, is that this is called a role center because it is based on your role. What we show you is really, we ship out of the box, you know, a set of roles being sales clerk, being a shop floor worker, being your CEO, CFO, these are all different roles in the system, and they all have different needs. So, you know, despite the ones we ship, administrators, partners can go ahead and create additional role centers or home pages for these users. So right here, I'm using, I'm not sure, I guess this is sales activities, probably a sales clerk. If I switch over to this other client, which has been launched with...
CEO
role center. Thank you, May. You can see here it's completely different. The role is completely different. And on top of that, right? If I was to launch Enterprise Portal, or if I was to launch the web browser using logging in with the CEO, his startup page is going to be completely different. It's going to be all completely based on that user's role. So,
cool.
And where is our web partner role?
Well, we could quickly show you that.
So I think we're going to get that message across. Like, you can personalize this,
sure,
and add the web control that we built. We could add it into your role centers.
Right.
So use the same development paradigm for build new application in Enterprise Portal, and leverage all the coolness into your rich client in the role center.
Okay, so last question to wrap up. You guys are in an open beta now, or what's the status of 2009?
So we have signed up some tab customers. A couple of customers went live in the last week.
Okay.
So we have 20 more customers who are going to go live in the next couple of months.
Okay.
And once we get their feedback and we reach the quality, and then we would release it in the...
So you want to give us a ship date? You want to give us a ship year?
It's a
ship half a year?
Definitely this year.
This year.
Yeah, yeah.
This year.
Yeah.
Okay,
you heard
it here. Okay, and so the resource for developers that want to get started on this stuff, documentation. Do you guys have a MSDN portal? Is there a specific Dynamics page?
Yeah. So we do have a section in MSDN, and then we do have a lot of blogs.
Anybody know it off the top of your head or?
No, I think it is.
Oh, we'll add it to the tape afterwards.
Yeah.
I'll get the link from you guys.
Okay.
Okay, great.
And then while we're talking.
Right? Ooh, while you were talking, I went through, and literally it only took me 1 minute. I added our new grid that the user control that May created earlier to my role center, so it's right there.
Perfect.
So
perfect. And no deployment, no reinstall of the client.
Nothing. It was just a matter of me going into SharePoint personalization and adding that web part.
Perfect. Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thank you.